All right, the two categories of the human race from last time, vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. The divide is believable. And the destinies are the complete opposites. The unbeliever, vessels of wrath, they wind up ultimately locked into the lake of fire with no hope, with nothing but misery, every moment, forever and ever and ever. The vessels of mercy are those who have received God's grace, who are objects of mercy, coming before God and believing in Jesus Christ and having eternal life. These are the vessels of mercy. And the vessels of mercy, they have an absolute opposite end. And that is, they will enjoy forever the riches of His glory, which we noted is not something that you can quantify. It is not something that has yet been revealed, only in the sense that this is the wow factor for phase three. It is greater than any imagination could ever come up with. That's enough. What we do is we say that's what God's Word says, like everything else, and we have faith in it, and that's why we hang in there, because we want to, this expression's from the Bible, reap eternal life. And reap eternal life suggests various levels of degree of reaping. There's the basic ground level, which is nothing to sneeze at. For the average believer who, I would say average, the typical believer who doesn't go anywhere or doesn't stick with it to the end. There has to be a differentiation. I mean, if someone is a good servant, they're going to be rewarded with things like a promotion. Certain perks become in a righteous environment and situation. Those who excel should be the ones that get the better deal. Because if it isn't, then it's just prejudice and stupidity. You don't promote people because of their skin color, or demote them because of their skin color, or any other factors of that nature. It's their work ethic, what they contribute to it, and so forth. Now, forget about why the human race plays favorites and all this mess. I mean, it hurts organizations when people play favorites. Oh, I'm gonna make my brother the defensive coach, and he's not that good. You're okay, but he isn't that good. And the guy that ought to be in there is this guy. Would be an example and an illustration. And until you get that corrected, you're going to have a mediocre defense. You can have an outstanding offense, but you got a mediocre defense because you put a guy in there because he's your brother. Where's that? But it goes on all the time. But God is going to display this glory to the believer in phase three. All right, I got that right. I don't know why I put that scripture in there. But anyway, I know why I put it in there. I got off subject. I was trying to bring everybody up to grade with the previous section dealing with the contrast between the vessels of wrath and the vessels of glory. The last thing the vessels of wrath are going to experience is the white throne judgment, where they are judged out of two sets of books. You're not in the book of life and the book of works. Your works don't cut it. All your grandiose works, humanitarian, doing this, blah, 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 all that, all your moral works, all your sacrifices, everything you did, that doesn't earn you eternal life. So salvation is not of works, of righteousness. So somehow, I want to say billions and billions, more like trillions and trillions, of people are going to have somehow, like you have a little display in front of you, I don't know, and they're going to see all this. Because you were finite, and they're going to be scattered out, way all these people, because people take up space. But they're going to experience this, and on the throne sits Jesus Christ. And they're judged out of the books, and then they are thrown into the lake of fire. And then we turn around and watch the Lord create the new earth and bring down the new Jerusalem and put everybody on it, and away we go. Now, there are so many unanswered questions I would have about all of this, but that's just the way it is. Some of it is just you get to a point and you can't, well, what are we going to, I can't. God's got it covered. That's all I can tell you. He isn't going to have a logistics problem. Where do I put everybody? In the meantime, we are to exercise patience. The Christians to whom the book of James was written, they were being oppressed by rich landowners. They worked on their property, and they weren't getting paid what they said they were going. It was being withheld from them at various levels. Because they were taking advantage of these people. Well, the scale on which it occurs in our last days with the likes of, you know, the people who are the primary, I don't know if you call it stockholders, that's not the right word I want, but the families that are behind the Fed, they stay undercover. They don't want to be published. And some of them aren't even Americans. They're European. The Federal Reserve System, where they can create money out of thin air, loan it to the government, so the government can go to war. They like wars. So the government has to borrow from a bank so that the government can do whatever a government does. Right? We shouldn't be borrowing from bankers. We should have generated and regulated our own currency. And no, we're not borrowing from you. We are the bank. We're the bank. And we will oversee the production of the common currency. And we will be sure that it is precious metal backed. Because paper isn't worth anything other than pneumatic, I mispronounce it, values. You know, this is an old bill from way back in the day. It's not worth anything literally, but because it's an ancient bill, it might be worth a lot of money. But it's just an antique. See, it used to be before my time. Well, even probably in my time to a certain extent. But back in the day, this is redeemable at the treasury for this amount of gold or silver. You could walk right in there, plop it down, and they had to give you gold and silver for it. They never taught me in economics class why we have inflation. Oh, well, they dance around it. The primary cause of inflation is the debasing of the currency. Back in early colonial history, we had the expression, not worth a continental. I'm not talking about a car. I'm talking about a currency. And so you get a printing press and you just crank these bills out. In Germany at one time, you had to take a basket full of these bills just to buy a loaf of bread. I don't think I'm exaggerating too much. it got so ridiculous. And that's why prices of things, there's one reason prices are high, it can be scarcity. I understand that. But if you compare a gallon of milk today with a gallon back in the 70s, go look at the difference. We could live, Brenda and I could live on $15, $20 easy a week on groceries. Now, we didn't eat like, you know, Rockefeller or anything. We weren't bringing T-bone steaks home every day and, you know, all that stuff. But that's all it cost. Gasoline, 35 cents a gallon, 25 cents a gallon. Well, there's not as much gas and oil now. No, that's not true. There's places in the United States, like in Alaska, that's enough to run this country for centuries. Underground, sitting there. And they want to make these damn batteries for cars. You ought to do some research on that. Do you know how many what amount of minerals it takes to make one battery that you got to dig out of the ground and put this stupid thing together? And all the electricity that has to be generated so all those damn cars can back up and get their battery charged up? So you can save the planet? It's ridiculous. Well, that's a scam, too, of the rich. These people, these are the things they pushed out there on us. Climate change. I've seen it since the 70s. They were trying to scare us. And if we don't do something by, and they'd have a date, the date would come and go and we weren't destroyed. And they just keep doing it. While they run around the earth in their private jets, going to their private homes or their big yachts and telling us to conserve, that we're the problem. They're behind all of this. And governments have been infected by their types, politicians, academics. And that's where we're at. That's where we're at. They want to destroy any vestige of the American way of life. That's what they want to do. Put us in little communities, and this is what you have, and you'll be happy. Give them a phone and drugs, and they'll be happy. I exaggerate maybe, but this is the mentality of these people. We saw James 5. They're going to be brought down. And before they die and go to hell, they're going to scream and howl. Physically and emotionally under the wrath the Lord's going to put on them. It's over. The game is over. He's going to remove the wicked at that level as well as down the layers from the earth. So you're on notice. Make your big pronouncements. Talk about population control. We got to kill off people. Well, they might not say it like that, but there's too many people. So we got to reduce. This goes clear back to Malthus and the Malthian principle of. And back then, the population of the earth was small compared to now. Somebody said you could put everybody in Texas on a half an acre. I don't know. That's what they're saying. And there's not enough resources and blah, blah, blah. They want to enslave and make this just a big animal farm, a bunch of prisoners for them. So they're into population control. What do you think Planned Parenthood is? Who do you think's behind that? Bill Gates, his father, head of it, when they called it the Eugenics Institute. Eugenics, good genes. Back then, they were wanting to kill off all blacks. Well, that's great. Now they want to kill whites. I don't know. whites are the cause of all the problems in the world. Oh, yeah, right. Maybe the white elite. Those types. So, they're behind all of it. They own all the major broadcasting corporations. So they're all scripted. You can't rely on them for the truth. Investigative journalism, what is that? They had to mold the public opinion so everyone sits in front of the tube. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they got them right where they want them. Because they knew, in psychology, you say it over and over and over and over enough, and you'll finally get them on board. We don't want anybody really to be thinkers. We just want them to be sponges for the propaganda in the devil's world. Understand that. And that's why we got where we got with all these things that we've got saddled with. Belief systems. And that technology is a big factor in promoting this. Because back in the day with radio, you just don't reach as many people. But they were using it then to propagandize. That's why they sold us on some of all this stuff. But all the lies are going to be exposed. The Bible tells me this. He's going to bring to light all the things done in darkness, behind the scenes. He's going to drag it right into his courtroom and expose every bit of it. And if it wasn't, it's like they say, follow the money, the money power. These people knew that we have to control governments through the monetary factor. And so they set up this banking system, this cartel to loan to governments and indebt the government, and the government has to go and borrow. And they call it the Federal Reserve System. It is not federal. It's not federal government. It's no more federal than FedEx. Okay? It's just a name. It's international bankers who live luxuriously on the earth. They will be brought down. The Bible is against usury, and it's against, back in ancient times, they put stuff on scales and weighed it. And it criticizes rigged scales. Well, the system is so rigged, it isn't funny. Henry Ford said, way back in the day, was that back in the 20s or something? I don't know. He said, if the American people came to understand how our monetary system works, there would be a revolution by tomorrow morning. They would rise up against it and tear it down and send those people running for cover. We loan to governments. We've loaned to communist governments. We're in bed with the Chinese. We've been in bed with the Soviets before, who are butchering all their people. These sins are laid at the feet of the United States. We abused our what God gave us. He gave us a beautiful territory to occupy. It's got so many advantages. It's got a river running right down the center of it called the Mississippi. And that is cheap transportation of goods down that river. And all the other factors that make up this country. And we abused it. We abused it. And he's going to make this a big animal farm to the end of the millennium. It's going to be a jungle, an overgrown jungle with animals flourishing, but no humans. None can even go in there and do exploration and give a report on what they saw. It's off limits, like the Garden of Eden after the fall. Nobody will be able to come in here. Nobody, much less set up and start it all over. Humans could easily do that. Given time, the United States will be off limits. From coast to coast, nobody can come in. No man will pass through it. Just you know, like the ancient explorers did. Let's get on the Oregon Trail. Let's get on the who and ever. Let's check it all out. No. It's over. The game is over. And this whole thing with Russia, it's moving that direction. There's more to see. More developments are going to occur. In bringing this bear, so it raises up on one side, and whoever in the blank the three ribs are, I do not know. If you ever get a clue, let me know. Rise and devour much flesh. And Russia has the nuclear arsenal to take this whole country down in 1 hour or one day. And there will be no retaliation. It's all coming to an end. Jesus Christ controls every weapon on earth and all the arsenals and all these things. That's why he's called the Lord of the Armies. He moves all the pieces around on the chessboard. Checkmates whoever he has to. He controls history. It gives me comfort every day to know when I read all these awful headlines and the newest stuff. He controls. Under his permissive will, he's let all this evil run to this level. And then there'll be the commensurate wrath that will checkmate it all. And he'll cleanse the earth of the wicked. And it's real, real soon. It's got to be. Well, you preachers have been saying that forever. Okay? Run around and say that all you want. I don't care what other preachers have said. Other preachers had it wrong before, saying the Lord is going to come back in 1000 AD. Why? There's no Israel. No Israel, no return of the Lord. You've got to have that in place. Duh. Everything centered around Israel. You can't have a non-Israel and have the rapture and the trib. I don't even think they even taught that. Correct me if I'm wrong. I never heard it. At a minimum, the rapture couldn't have occurred before Israel became a nation state. And then it's going to occur the day they become one. A lot of stuff has to develop. And of course, it's easy for us in hindsight to look back and say, well, there has to be a technology that matches up with the mark of the beast. It can't be a stupid tattoo, even a satanic tattoo. Go put a satanic tattoo on you, and people do, and other kinds, but they put these things on themselves, they could still theoretically be saved. The phrase which he prepared beforehand for glory refers to the eternal divine decrees. 35, glory here refers to the afterlife with the resurrection body in SG3. It also includes our surroundings, especially on the new earth and the new Jerusalem for all eternity. 37, all the negatives that plague us here will be eliminated like sin and death. There'll be things we won't even talk about anymore to speak of. 38, in verse 24, Paul makes it clear that all races who are among the called will inherit phase 3 glory. 39, calling refers to gospel hearing, related to life on earth after the teaching in Romans 8, 29 and 30. 40, so calling is a temporal phenomena where the called are given a gospel hearing. So we get one of the titles that we have are, we're the called. We're the elect, the chosen. Other people use it for things, but it is what we are. God preserves the life of each person he foreknew would believe to get them to a gospel hearing. 42, positive Jews living in the church age are not denied salvation because of the negative volition of the Jews at large. More on that coming up in our next Bible classes. 43, the failure of the Jews. And their failure has been monumental, people. Old Testament times and on through the church age. Their failure as the chosen people has been monumental. How they've dropped the ball, and I'm including those that are in Israel right now. It's been They can talk all they want to about how great the Bible is, the Old Testament, and quote it, and sometimes accurately with regard to things like showing God bringing the Jews back. In that 365, there was another one. It seems as though people in California, are average people, are suffering pretty much these days. Due to, and they're calling the Jews, the California Jews, to get home. Fulfilling your Bible. Absolutely fulfilling your Bible. And showed a picture of Jews coming down off of a plane, down the ramp, off of a plane, and a Jew down there with a shofar blowing it like that. The failure of the Jews to uphold their special place in the plan opened the door for the Gentiles to be elevated to a higher status. That being the royal family of this present dispensation, made up of individual believers from all the nations. All right, we're going to get in our place to use the Lord's table, and in that regard, you're going to have to pardon me. I've got to use the restroom.